Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, Thanksgiving is over.
It's and gone.
I have brought you a little treat.
Oh, I've been looking at it for quite a while.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm ready.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Someone that is in my Instagram community, in the Joy Scout community, her name is Lena Mullet. Shout out, Lena Mullet.
Lena.
She said, can you stop by my house? I have some things I want to give you. One thing she gave me was a pumpkin roll.
Oh,
I
love a pumpkin roll.
I brought part of that pumpkin roll here because Daryl and I will never eat an entire pumpkin roll.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
And then the other thing, which I really do believe all of us need to know about this. I've never heard of it in my life. I brought it. I cut it in half. I thought we could do a little taste test. You know, we'll have to be careful not to just chomp in the mic. But I have never heard of someone doing little miniature whoopie pies. So a whoopie pie is a pillowy chocolate cookie that is sandwiched between some lovely fluffy cream, some white cream. She takes these, she makes little whoopie pies. They're, I would say it's about the bigger than a silver dollar. Mm-hmm. She puts them in the freezer. Then frozen, she takes them out, you know, obviously she takes them out frozen. But while they're frozen, she dips them in coating chocolate, like candy coating
Genius.
Chocolate, like Christmas candy coating chocolate. And they're part of her Christmas candy, you know, making.
Genius.
And so we're going to take a bite right now.
We're biting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, soft. Mm. Soft. Oh, this is so.
Podcasts aren't made for food.
<It's so laughs>
but this
good.
Is very good.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. She said that her husband said the other day when he was eating one, why don't we do this all year long? And she said, because it's just a Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's special. Mm. It's so special.
Mm. Oh, my
it's
goodness,
so good.
It's so good.
It's really good. Could you pour me some water in one of these cups?
Mm. You want some of my water in your Disney cup?
Yes.
Oh, it's not looking very good.
Oh. We're parched. You just spilled ice. Everywhere. That's
Everywhere.
All right. Hey.
That's delicious.
I'm going to go on my good day first.
Drinking
note
water.
To self. Food on podcasting is not
note
a
to
great.
Self. Never bite into a chocolate covered whoopie pie with your face next to a microphone. But boy, that was worth it.
It is good. It so I'm gonna good. Eat mine when you talk. Mm. You can eat yours now.
Okay, thank you.
We had a great Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has come and gone. It was a great, great day. We had extra time off school that was awesome. And we actually, our district has Wednesday Monday off.
Oh, so you had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
Yes. And you know why Monday is because in our area, hunting is such, I think we've talked about this before.
Hunting's a big thing.
Hunting's a big deal. And we have that day off so that people can get their hunt on, I suppose. So we had Thanksgiving at our house. Listen, we divide up the food.
Yeah.
We have great cooks in our family between our moms, Mallory's grandma. Mm-hmm. I just thought of this. You need the recipe of what Mallory's grandma brought
for Thanksgiving.
She brought a sweet potato radish.
What?
Something. It's like a casserole, but she slices them really thin and layers them with Gruyere cheese.
Gruyere.
And like breadcrumbs. It is so good. So we divide
radishes.
Up the list.
Radishes?
I think it's radishes. It's really, really good.
Not parsnips.
No, but I love a parsnip.
I love a good parsnip.
My mom made the turkey. My mom makes a good pumpkin pie. We made mashed potato stuffing and cranberry sauce. I have a great cranberry sauce that I love. And we all ate dinner together and it was lovely. And then for the weekend, we had so much time off school and listen,
how late did everybody stay at your house?
Till about 4.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Our family, this is our off year with my sister and her kids on Thanksgiving.
Because they do every other year, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll be with them at Christmas. But for Thanksgiving, sometimes it's like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
And so I thought months ago, I was like, we need something fun to do that weekend. So I got a cabin at a state park only 45 minutes away down in Mohegan that had a hot tub and it had enough rooms for all of us. So my family, the five of us and my mom, went down to the cabin for the weekend and it was so fun. We took board games. I took a book that I read, The Plan by Kendra Adachi,
who is going to be on our podcast next week.
She is a guest.
She's going to be a guest.
She is. Kendra Adachi is known as the Lazy Genius.
Lazy Genius. Mm-hmm.
And she has a new book out called The Plan. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard of the Lazy Genius, you do want to check her out because she's
amazing. So you read the book.
So I read the book, The Plan, in preparation for our
Did you get in
discussion.
The hot tub?
I did. I love a hot tub, okay. But here's what I'm noticing.
All right.
I don't love a hot tub when it elevates my heart rate.
Okay.
There's there's a limit. I feel like I'm basting and baking.
How do you know? How do you know when you're,
I just get tired and I'm like, I need to get out.
Okay.
But we let the kids in and they have a limit of like 10 minutes. So I would set a timer. The kids would get in for 10 minutes, then they get out.
Is that
out,
because
they
of them
inside.
Just getting overheated? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're so little. Yeah. Their bodies are just smaller than ours. And so they would get out and their thing, and it was like 18 degrees.
Did
and they would run into the cabin, and we played board games, and then they would get like warmed up, and then they would run back outside. I think one day we counted they went like 6 or 7 times back and
adorable.
Forth all day.
Did you take any of the any of the matching PJs?
How dare you? How dare you bring up the tight PJs? I did not take matching PJs.
Okay, do you wear the matching PJs any other time besides Christmas? No.
Usually, I'm going to be real with
you. Yeah, I know probably the kids do, but do you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know everyone's dying to know the answer to it. I typically wear the bottoms because they're a little looser.
Okay.
But for some reason, pajama tops just feel a little squeezy for me.
Okay.
And I'm going to be very honest.
Okay.
I have a puffy chest.
Oh, okay.
So I don't like things accentuating my puffy chest.
This is taking.
That's what's happening.
This feels like an explanation.
So, yes, I took the pajama bottoms. No, I did not bring the pajama tops because they're just a little snug.
Okay. I get it. You know, you could like Luca could wear the pajama tops as something like oversized.
Yes.
You know, or Mal.
True,
you know,
here's my last comment about our weekend.
Okay.
Is here's one of my hacks. If you're going away, the Lazy Genius would be so proud of me saying this. What I did before we left is I planned out all of our meals and I made them ahead. I made a lasagna.
Oh, that's so good.
I got stuff for pizzas, which we didn't make.
Yeah,
that
I talked to you one day on the phone. You were like, I've been in the kitchen all day. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I made a lasagna. It was in the fridge. I made, what else did I make? The salad stuff. I made the dressing for it before we left. So I did as much as I could before we left.
Good.
And then when we were there, we weren't cooking the whole time.
That's
we
good.
Were just literally, it was like, am I reading a book? Am I playing a game with the kids? Am I eating? Am I in a hot tub? Those are my four choices. Oh, and napping.
Yeah.
Like we had like five choices and that's what we did. And it
that's
was
awesome.
The perfect Thanksgiving weekend
that's
for us.
Awesome.
What about you?
Well, my good day. You know, of course, Thanksgiving was lovely. We always do it with Daryl's side of the family. We call it Amish Thanksgiving. And the food was amazing. And usually you're assigned one, maybe two things. So we went to Amish Thanksgiving. And
what'd
then
you take?
I took cranberry salad. I was assigned cranberry salad for the
Did
first
you make
time
the fluffy
ever.
Kind?
No, I made a kind that had two boxes of cranberry Jell-O in it.
Hmm.
And then you roughly chopped the two bags that, well, there's like 55 or 60 people, so I doubled the recipe.
Yeah.
So there's chopped pecans, chopped cranberries, two apples, one Granny Smith and one Honeycrisp, and then celery. And then you pour some cranberry Jell-O in it and then stir it up, put it in 13x9. And then what I did was took a little bit of Cool Whip and put it in some real whipped topping and then topped it with that and then put some pomegranate seeds on the top.
Yum.
And some nuts, some, you know, the beautiful pecan halves, some of those on the top. And yeah, that's...
I'm here for that. Are you happy with it?
Oh my gosh, it was delicious.
Good.
I know something I've that I've hit a home run if I see one of our boys, Daryl, Teddy, or Joey, go back for seconds or something. Yeah. So I knew that I had a winner. I've never been assigned that before, though. So I felt like somehow I was being punished, you know, because I'm like, cranberry salad. Okay. But yeah, but it turned out beautiful.
But you made it great.
Yeah, it turned out great.
That's awesome.
And then we usually, and I was right about this. I did talk about this one podcast that usually our Amish family is fasting up until that meal.
Right.
So we don't ever do Thanksgiving like at 4 or 5 o'clock PM. We always do it like 11:30 noon mm-hmm. because they're all ready to break their fast.
Is it a spiritual thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're ready to break their fast. And so we were there.
I love that actually.
Yeah. We were there at 11:30.
Is it like a sundown to lunch kind of thing?
Yeah. Yep.
And is the intention to be thinking about what you're thankful for?
That I'm not sure about. I can confirm, but okay. It's definitely spiritual in nature. So we have lunch and then we sit around and play games. Literally the kids are so cute to watch how they play with each other, but then we play games.
Yeah.
Like the guys play euchre or rook and the women play dominoes and or skippo.
Do you guys play Dutch Blitz?
We didn't this year.
But do Amish people play Dutch Blitz?
Because mm-hmm. yep.
we play that this weekend.
Did you? Did the kids love it?
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's too fast.
Too fast. They will love it when they get older.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But you know, one of the highlights of the week, we were with Teddy and MG getting married. We all love Holmes County Pottery. Mm-hmm. Shout Holmes County Pottery if you are listening.
I would love if Carrie listened to us.
Yeah, he is just. Carrie and Stephanie at Holmes County Pottery, they are some of the sweetest, mm-hmm. most sincere, precious people. And, you know, Teddy and Joey grew up with that pottery. They grew up eating out of those bowls and off those plates. And so Teddy and MG, we contacted them ahead of time and went and met with them because that's what they want for their wedding registry. So they're going to make something, you know, special for them. Mm-hmm. And we went and met with them and it was just a lovely little excursion.
Yeah.
And it was sweet to see Teddy just say to Carrie, like, you know, your stuff has sentimental value to me and I just want it in my home because I grew up with it. And it was just sweet.
That's really
awesome. We had a great visit. It was a wonderful time. And Teddy and MG were here from Sunday to Friday, which was a nice little stretch of time.
Love it.
And then Joey came home on Tuesday and stayed from Tuesday to Saturday. And it was just really nice.
That's awesome. Hey, we have a segment we're bringing back.
Yes.
Read me our title.
Yes.
We said it was a working title last time. But I think it's going to be the title. I think we're going to keep it.
This is called Something Random I Need to Share That Might Not Make a Difference to You at All.
Do we need to leave room for music?
Sure. Something Random I Need to Share That Might Not Make a Difference to You at All. Go.
Something random that I need to share that might not make a difference to you at all is my family loves America's Test Kitchen.
Oh, yes.
America's Test Kitchen, if you're unfamiliar with it, it's like a scientific way to make
food. America's Test Kitchen, if you are listening.
Now listen, America's Test Kitchen is great because they'll send out recipes to home cooks all across the nation and get their opinions. They'll also test like the 10 best mixers. Which one should you buy? Which is the best thing for your buck?
Best butter.
All that kind of stuff.
Just fat content and butter. They do everything. It's science.
So we love America's Test Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And there's some things mm-hmm. like my mom swears by their pie crust. Like their coconut cream pie is amazing. Yes. Like there's certain things that my mom has tested from America's Test Kitchen.
Well, your mom makes the buttercream frosting from America's. It's perfect. It's the best.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the part that you might not care about, but I do. And I think it's interesting.
Okay.
The man that started America's Test Kitchen is awesome. His name's Christopher Kimball. He started it. He's like kind of like Mr. Rogers for food, but he's like a scientist.
He's Milk Street now, right? Okay.
That's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Mr. Christopher Kimball. We don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. No, we don't know. There's no tabloids for America's Test Kitchen. But Mr. Christopher Kimball, who I've known and loved for many, many years, mm-hmm. left America's Test Kitchen and started something called Milk Street, which I also love.
I love.
This is Christopher Kimball's baby is called Milk Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Milk Street is releasing recipes. They're releasing products.
So
they're,
good.
I asked actually for Christmas. I asked for one of their pans. It's like an all-purpose pan.
I saw that pan.
I asked for that for Christmas. And, you know, you might not care about Christopher Kimball leaving America's Test Kitchen for Milk Street, but I wanted to know. Oh, yeah. I want to know what's going on. And I don't know the story.
Oh, you didn't
So if anyone out there knows the story of Christopher Kimball leaving America's Test Kitchen to start Milk Street, I would love to know.
Yeah. I mean, if it's salacious, we don't want to know. But if it's like, you know, we just like to know some
deets. Ways.
We need to, like we need some deets.
But, you know, you might not care about Christopher Kimball, but I do.
Okay. Mine. Something random I need to share that might not make a difference to you at all is that I have a cat. And my
I love your cat.
And my cat's name is Mr. Butters. Mr. Butters, people are always so interested in what kind of cat Mr. Butters is. Mr. Butters is a Silkirk Rex cat.
Okay.
Now, a Silkirk Rex cat, this is random, but this is a fact. A Silkirk Rex cat is a curly-haired cat, and they are typically cats that they claim you are not as allergic to as, like, a regular-haired cat.
Yeah, like a just a domestic.
Now, personally, I think a full-breeded Silkirk Rex cat kind of looks like a wet, like, it just kind of looks
like
a
Jerry Curls.
Yeah, it's just like a wet, I don't know, like a wet, soggy cat. I just don't think they're that cute.
Yeah.
Mr. Butters, for whatever reason, he is Silkirk Rex, but his coat did not come out curly. So I have a purebred Silkirk Rex cat with papers whose hair is not curly. And that could have been why, you know, he didn't sell when he was
That's what I was going to ask. So does it make him more, like, in the eyes of a cat beholder, does it make him more valuable or, like, less?
Well, I think...
Or, like, people that are purists were like, that's not the cat for me.
I think people that are looking for a Silkirk Rex cat, they want a curly-haired cat. And people that are not looking for a curly-haired cat are not looking for, like, oh, this... Because I think probably the fear could be that his coat's going to turn out strange or weird later.
Right.
Now, I will say, it is a challenge. He has so much hair...
You vacuum
and
so much.
I do. And he goes to the groomer. He's on a rotation every 3 months.
We know about the groomer. We know all about your adventures at the groomer.
But he really has an amazing mane. But
he's beautiful.
It's a lot. It's a lot to do.
But I actually didn't know that about your cat.
So correct.
His breed that it's not the typical breed. Mm-mm. Coat for that breed.
Yeah. Nope.
Hey, well, we wanted to talk today all about difficult conversations because we're coming off of a lot of family time.
Yeah, I had a difficult conversation and that's where this was born.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you set us up with the story about where this came from and that kind of thing, or however much you want to share.
Okay, I'm not going to get in the weeds too much about the details, except for to say, I shared a little bit of this already on my Instagram stories, but this has been a lifelong struggle for me, like a lifelong, I would say, battle of time. Like, I think I have more time than I've got.
Well, and we do joke about it.
Yeah.
We joke about Miller time.
Oh, yeah. Miller time. And I want to, like, if I'm getting ready and I know I need the appointments at 10, but somebody calls me at 9 and they're just wanting to visit and they're wanting to talk and they're wanting to ask me a bunch of questions, I'm going to accommodate. And then that's going to make me late.
Yeah.
So it's been an ongoing, I mean, we've been married for 33 years. It has been something that probably, and this is not being silly, I'm not joking, but if there's anything that Daryl and I are going to butt heads or argue about, it's going to be my tardiness. He is very prompt. He's very on time. And he is very, I remember one time his alarm didn't go off and the person he was supposed to pick up called me worried because it's so unlike him.
Totally.
Not to show up like 10 minutes early.
Totally.
So his 10 minutes early is on time. I mean, when I first married him, I was like, why in the world would you be 10 minutes early? He's like, why in the world would you be right on the dot? Like,
right.
So I have improved over the years. It has gotten better.
Have.
And I am still trying, but I still struggle.
Yeah.
And so over the break, and it's funny because when I shared this on my Instagram story, somebody came into my DMs and said, I feel like this is a little over the top. I think if your sons are making a big deal, if this is the biggest thing that they have, this biggest gripe they have with you and the biggest thing that's wrong, then they're very fortunate. And you know, kind of downplayed. I mean, she wasn't being snooty, but she was downplaying them being upset.
Right.
Which I said to her, you know, well, this has been an ongoing thing for a lot of years.
Right.
And I also wasn't comparing it to something. Like, I'm not comparing this to if someone's abusive or mean.
Correct.
Or a narcissist. This is just a blind spot I have that has been a bone of contention with
Absolutely.
My family.
And whatever your family's experience is, that's your heart is your heart. And that's okay.
Right. Know? Yeah. I mean, we have permission for our hard to be our hard, even if it's about being late. So it was Joey's birthday and lots of things were happening. And I want to, and something about me, if there's like laughing and a party going on downstairs while I'm getting ready, I want to be part of it. I want to be in it. And so I was running 15, we were going to be 15 minutes late to Columbus. We didn't have an appointment. Anything like that, but we were going to be 15 minutes late, and it was upsetting to Teddy and to Joey.
Yeah.
And so I rode with Teddy alone to Columbus, and he said, you know, Mom, we need to have a hard conversation. We need to have a challenge, an awkward conversation about what just happened. And so we just kind of unpacked it and we talked about it, and it was hard and clunky and awkward, and I cried, and he was so patient. and I want to say several different things about this. Is, you know, there's something to be said about how you receive when somebody comes to you with something about you that you don't want to hear and that you don't like to know about yourself. There is also a part of that that's important, and that is how it's being communicated to you. Mm-hmm. And so because Teddy kept reassuring me, he kept saying, you know, Mom, I know you love us. I know that we are important to you. And I know that it's not your heart to make us feel like our time doesn't matter. And,
right.
You know, but you need to know how this can make other people feel. And something he said that I do, and I know that I do it. And he was quick to follow it up and say, you know, Mom, I think often this is a strength of yours, but it can also come off as you just want to apologize for something and then just keep right on trucking. Mm. It's like, sorry, I'm late, guys. And then.
But it's a party.
Yeah. And then you just kind of keep on going, and it kind of makes the person who's upset feel like their feelings feel diminished. Mm-hmm. Like you're not pausing and saying like, hey, I know that time is important to you. I know that you want to be on time, and this, you know, I shouldn't have ran late, and I'm right. really, really sorry.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to say I'm sorry and then get back to the party.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we just really had a good conversation. It was hard, and, you know, we bouncing back from it too, you know, it's hard. It's hard to have that kind of conversation and be like, and now we're going to have a fun day.
Right. That is hard. So tell me this. I've found in hard conversations, it is helpful for me to say and to hear on both ends if somebody says, hey, we need to have a hard conversation. That is, do you find that to be helpful when someone prefaces that? Because it's kind of like, oh, this is serious.
I don't think he said we need to have a hard, maybe he did say hard conversation. It's just like, we need to have, you know, we just need to have a conversation about what just happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you say we need to have a hard conversation, I think some people could quickly feel bound up by that or triggered or like quickly defensive. And here's the thing about being a parent to adults. Like when you're, you know, I'm 56, and I think once you're over 50 and your kids come to you and they're saying, well, you know, when you raised me, this and this and this, and this is how you've made me feel, and all those things, you know, it is the quick knee-jerk response. Like the what you want to do immediately is defend yourself.
No doubt.
And justify, and also justify. And I really tried very hard not to do that because he was trying so hard to tell me about how it might make other people feel, like being late, how right. it could make other people feel, that I didn't want to be like, well, it happened because of this and this and this. And I think because what that does is it isolates it to one incident and or one time. And really, it's not just one time. This right. is something that I struggle with, you know, other times besides right. just one specific time. And, you know, and I think how you approach it with your parent is very important. If you're an adult kid, maybe you're 35 and your parent is 65 and you want to have a hard conversation, I would say one of the first things is, you know, the timing. You know, he totally. Didn't do it right when we were standing in the house and
or in front of people, or a group in front of people.
A bunch of people. He waited like a good half hour mm-hmm. and then said, hey, I want to talk to you about what just happened. And I think if you create, Maureen, my counselor, told me this years ago, and I think it's great advice. You create the moment.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. you set the stage and create the moment. Not when people are upset and hyped and, mm-hmm. and defensive and you've just had an argument. You create the moment when it's calm and a Tuesday and right. you're sitting with your coffee and you're like, I think I want to have this conversation now.
Right.
And you say like, hey, I'd like to talk to you. And do you have 20 minutes or do you have a half an hour or whatever? And you carve out the time.
Right.
You know, to talk about it. And it's not easy. It really isn't easy, whether it's thought out or whether it happens just right after an argument. It's not an easy thing. But I do think that you become when you allow yourself to be vulnerable and even humble and say, you know, I was wrong and that's not how I ever want to make somebody feel. And you're humble. And the person that's also talking to you is not being mean. You know, not right. coming at you, you feel closer mm-hmm. afterwards. Like, totally. I think it really makes you closer to the person. It makes you, your friendship yeah. and your relationship deeper.
Do you think in these conversations that there's a unique dynamic with a parent child having these conversations? Because I see on Instagram, I see on social media, generations of kids, Teddy's age, even maybe my age with our parents having conversations that might be received as you didn't do this when I was a kid and that hurt me, or you did do this and that hurt me, you know, vice versa. Do you think that that's a unique dynamic versus friendship and marriage? Do you think the parent-child relationship is unique where the child's coming to you with the problem, like as an adult child coming to their parent? Do you think that's unique?
No,
not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Because I think it's universal. And I think you can have it in marriage. You can totally. Be married for 25 years and be like, remember what you did when we were first married. And, you know, keep bringing up, you know, I think I've had so many people come in my DMs to tell me to share certain things with me. And somebody came in my DMs and said that, you know, the difficult has been with the spouse and there were things that have happened over the years that were triggered by other outside circumstances that they, and I said, have you been able to speak to somebody professionally about this?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we've been in therapy for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think if you keep revisiting the same thing, like if Teddy has to have this conversation with me 3 more times,
right.
then obviously I need to go outside to someone to talk to someone to get some tools in my tool belt so that I know how to change a behavior
right.
better.
Right. Right.
Because he doesn't want to keep having the conversation. I don't want to keep hearing the conversation, but totally. I don't want to keep repeating a cycle of the same behavior.
Well, at the end of
behavior.
The day, the difference is you are not defensive and you want your relationship with your child to flourish.
Right. To be better. Right.
And so what I've seen sometimes is that's when you put up a boundary, is when things don't change or it's not received.
Right.
You know, we both can think of things that we wouldn't talk about details here, but in relationships that we've had where we brought something to someone and we're like, hey, this made me feel this way, or I didn't like it when this happened.
Right.
And nothing changes, or it's not received well. And it's like, well, I guess we need to put up a boundary, or at times end a relationship.
Right.
And so I think there's a responsibility on both ends that you are a good truth teller and you're a good truth receiver. You know, on both ends, you have to be good at both of it for it to work.
And there has to be a level of kindness there.
Absolutely.
You know, and care. I think if it's like inflammatory and, you know, people's emotions are high and you know, you're saying kind of extreme absolutes, like every time and I never, and you always, like
such a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not helpful.
Right.
And I think, I also think that, difficult conversations are difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, and you don't want, nobody wants to have them.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I'm an Enneagram 7.
Yeah, I don't, you want a party.
I don't want to have a difficult conversation at all.
Right.
But I know that also it's important to know how other people may be feeling.
Right. And you, at the end of the day, you love people.
I do.
What supersedes any personality test or Enneagram is if you have a value system that says, I value people, I love people, especially people that I'm really close to, regardless of your temperament, your, you know, ENFJ, Myers-Briggs, all that stuff, regardless of any of those things, if it rubs up against your value system where you say, I value and love people, and I cherish people in my life, then I want to hear them first and then decide. You get to make the choice how you respond.
Well, and I think if you don't have these conversations, you can really get to a place where you have lots of blind spots where people aren't telling you, like, hey, that made me feel this way. And you really, like, literally, like, he was just saying some things like, you know, when you are late, what it conveys or what it can make me feel. And he was telling me things and I was like, what? Really? Like, it was like shocking, like surprised me. And he's like looking at me like, why is this so surprising? And it's because it's just not, because of the way my brain works and my personality works, it's not on my radar at all.
Right.
I'm like, we're going to Columbus and having a birthday day. This is so fun.
Right.
We're going to be a few minutes late, but we're going to get there. And it's like, no, like, that's not how some other people may be feeling. And that came as a shock to me. And I'm like, so I think part of when you bring a difficult conversation to someone, it's kind of like this. If you know somebody elderly and it's like people say about them, oh, they're just so set in their ways. It's because they probably, it either people have brought things to them and they're just like, well, that's just the way I am. Or nobody's really brought anything to them.
Right.
So they just continue being the way they are and they just get set in their ways.
Right.
And
right.
I think it's the whole, and I've heard this verse sometimes taken out of context, but I do think it is sharp iron sharpening iron.
Totally.
It is saying like, hey, like I want to mention this to you and do what you will with it. But I feel like you need to know.
It is such a hard thing, though.
Oh,
it's so hard. I'm so almost hard. 40 years old, 39 and three quarters. And I still, I mean, you're 65. Oh gosh, 56. Sorry.
You got the numbers.
You're 56 and it's still not comfortable or easy, even though we can talk about it like this. But in real life, it can be so hard. I mean, it makes my stomach hurt thinking about it.
Yeah. And I do think that sometimes you can correlate how much you care about the person with how much it can upset you.
100%.
Like if you're like, I really care about this person. They're really a dear friend. They're really a dear person. It's my spouse. It's my parent. And they mean so much to me. It can, it just feels so upsetting because the ultimate fear, you know, the fear behind this or the worry is this is going to make things worse.
Right.
Or like the extreme, like this is going to make them sever, you know, their relationship with me, or they're going to think ill of me or, you know, whatever bad thing, that's what's going to happen.
Totally.
When really that is the big bad wolf, that it, usually it never does happen.
Right.
Usually
right.
the conversation, it's kind of feels cleansing. I think it kind of feels like good to say what you've been. Well, I mean, you and I had a difficult conversation right before this podcast.
Yeah.
And, but I have to say, I think probably you feel better by telling me how you felt.
Well, and we both said we're the type of people mm-hmm. that if there's something in the way, it's really hard to just power through it.
Yes.
And keep going.
Yes. And I do think that that's part of friendship.
Right.
I mean, part of friendship is saying like, hey, this happened. I want you to know how it made me feel. You know, I love and care about you. And that's why I'm bringing it up.
Right,
I mean, all
right.
of those things. And I do think that there's a way that you go about it.
Totally.
I feel like if Teddy would have came to me pointing his finger at me, mm-hmm. it would not have went well.
Well, and I think it's okay. Cause I noticed myself doing this and, you know, I literally 40 minutes ago, we were having this conversation when I have these conversations, I say things like, I'm probably not saying this right. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't fair, but this is how I received what you said.
Right.
Or, you know, it's okay to say those things
yes.
because
yes.
I think that shows your, well, first it shows vulnerability, but second, it's not a coming at you conversation.
No.
You know, when I say things, you know, in our conversation that we just had, when I was like, this is what you said and it triggered me and I know it shouldn't trigger me like this, but it still made me feel like
yes,
this.
Yes.
Like you're both owning your part. Like I know that there, whatever the thing that we were talking about, there was something that you've texted me before that I'm like, when I read this text, it makes like me a little bit, like I was like, okay, but I know that's not your heart.
Right.
And I know that I shouldn't have a knee jerk reaction, but I still don't want it to keep happening.
Yes,
you know what
yes,
I mean? And
yes.
so I think it's okay yes. to have those conversations.
And you know, and the funny part about these kind of things is you telling me, I'm so glad, because then I'm not going to keep doing it.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a jerk. Like, like if I keep doing it, then it's a problem.
Right.
You know, but if I know that it's like, hey, don't text that line.
Right.
Because it feels like you're saying, you're inferring something that's not there,
right.
but it feels like it. Then right. I know not to do it.
Right.
I mean, I would think as friends, we want to know that about each other.
Totally. But I think it's hard because for me, I'm like, I just cherish our friendship. And I think part of it is I feel like I'm initiating conflict in something that's good, but that's not accurate.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's truly trying to make things better.
Better. Mm-hmm.
But my brain and the feeling that comes over my physical body initiating these types of discussion, it feels negative and it feels like a conflict.
Do you think that comes from your background? Do you think that 100%. Comes from family of origin? Or
yeah. And I could get into this some other time. We are literally running out of time, but you know, in particular, my dad and I struggled with communicating. We struggled with conflict. And I think I still carry some of that
yeah.
I've truthfully worked through with my therapist
yes.
and my wife in particular. And so I think all those things come back, no matter how long you've been in therapy or how far you feel like you've come mm-hmm. in your journey. Mm-hmm. There are mm-hmm. just some things mm-hmm. that you still, you know, before I initiate conflict, I have to tell myself, like, they don't think I'm a horrible person. This is
right,
what I have to.
Right, right.
I mean, literally, this is what it is with Mallory. If Mallory comes to me and says, hey, when you did this, it made me feel like this, blah, blah, blah. My brain at first goes, I'm a horrible husband. Why did I even have children? I'm probably going to mess these kids up. And really what she's saying is, whatever this thing was, let's work on it.
Yeah.
That's really what
yeah.
she's saying.
Let's make it better.
I still have mm-hmm. to fight, even though I mm-hmm. know it's not accurate. I still have to fight in my brain not to go to those dark places.
Yes. And I think if you are brave enough to bring up the awkward conversation, the hard conversation, what you're doing is creating this huge detour to a big blow up and to
yes.
a conversation that is not just that it's not productive, but it could be more explosive.
Right.
Like it
right.
could be like, that's it. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. And, you know, and, or if I kept texting that to you, one day I'm going to get back a text from you. That's like, and I'm going to be on the other end going, what in the world?
Happened?
What just happened?
Yeah.
And it's because I keep doing it and you keep feeling that way and you don't communicate that you're feeling that way.
You know, I remember one of our dear friends, Dave D'Angelo. We used to work together at a church and he had a phrase. I don't know if he started it, but it's where I heard it first, is there should never be a straw that broke the camel's back because there shouldn't have ever been that many straws in the first place.
Yeah.
And so I think that, I guess that would be a great parting shot is, you know, if there are little straws building up in a relationship that you
have a conversation,
have the conversation. It might be time to just say, let's hash it out. And it's going to feel clunky and it's going to feel awkward.
Yes.
It's much better to go in with humility and saying this feels hard
and create the time, you know, create the moment to do it. Like create the space, you know, say on, again, like on a random Tuesday, hey, do you have a minute to talk for, you know, 20 minutes or so? I have something I want to share with you because it's so much better than reacting right after an incident.
Right. Absolutely.
That's hard. That's hard to get to a place of just true care and like to feel good, to walk away feeling good about it. You know, after Teddy and I's conversation, he was patting me on my arm. He's like, no, we're okay, right? Are you okay, Mom? Like, I don't want this, you know, I want to have this conversation, but I don't want it to dampen or ruin our day. And I'm like, I'm good. I just need a few minutes to think about it, but I'm good.
Yeah. So, Lord knows I need bounce back time too.
Yeah.
Hey, you had a lot going on at your house with your kids, but you also have a lot going out in the back of your house.
That back deck.
Big old deck.
I was telling you that this back deck is going to change our life in this way. We are going to be able to entertain in different ways now because our house is small. And so this is going to just give us more space to stretch out, especially in the summer.
Right.
Listen,
you've been making those Mount Hope Fence boys frothy coffees. They're going to be sad to go to their next job.
Those Mount Hope Fence guys are getting frothy coffee every day.
Yeah. And you also shared that the guys at Mount Hope Fence have been really intentional about like little details that are just so special. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about those?
What, just with the deck?
Yeah, with the details of like the lights and the...
Oh, there's going to be on each post, on each of my deck posts, which I didn't even know this existed. You know, if you go, if you are looking to redo your deck floor, redo your railings, maybe build a deck, go into the actual showroom of Mount Hope Fence. I had no idea that your posts on your deck now can have this ambient light around. So the top cap that goes on the post, there's part of that cap all the way around that is lit.
Like a little LED strip.
It's like a
is
light.
Is it solar
or is it powered? No, it's on a switch.
Oh.
And then they have these little tiny, probably the size of a quarter, that lay on that get drilled into the deck boards, like into the floor, these little lights that go along.
That's cool.
And so, that's going to be really fun.
I can't wait.
It's, you know how I feel about ambient lighting.
Yeah.
I love warm lighting. I love ambient light. And so I'm really excited to have that kind of lighting on the deck. But I can't say enough. In fact, today I put in my stories, like, I won't ever stop bragging about them.
Yeah.
Like, we have had such a great experience with them. And they are just so fast. It has been so fast. Local craftsmen in our area, unbelievable.
100%.
And they're there at 7 a.m. Well, they're there when day is breaking. Mm-hmm. And they go.
Yeah.
They move.
That's
it's
awesome.
Been a wonderful experience. And we're just so happy to have them as one of our sponsors.
Yes. And one more, while we're talking about this, can you remind me of the different things that they do? Because their name is Mount Hope Fence, but they do decks.
They do outdoor structures like pavilions.
Yeah.
They do hardscapes. So they do fire pits.
Like rock work.
Fire pits. And like beautiful fire pits.
Yeah.
Like with all the paver brick around them. And they do railings. So they do any kind of railings and fencing. So if you have a picket fence or your deck railing needs done. Mm-hmm. And they do deck floors. So, and they have great products there.
Yeah.
Like they have a great line of products there. So they do deck flooring. Deck flooring is a big thing there. And it's also a big deal to have a nice deck floor that isn't going to have splinters. And...
Is your deck floor composite?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's so nice.
That's so
awesome. It's so nice.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait to sit.
You'll have
it.
Yourself a frothy coffee out on the back porch.
I know. Hey.
Back deck.
Let's talk about food. It's that time. Listen, hosting is coming, and we love our friends at Walnut Creek Foods.
Yes.
And at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market here locally in Walnut Creek, Ohio, right on State Route 39. Yes,
they've been
so
busy with the they've been so busy with the holidays.
So busy.
So busy. Let me just tell you what I got there recently that I was just like so impressed with myself. They don't carry King Hawaiian rolls there. Mm-hmm. So I got two packs of King Hawaiian rolls somewhere else. But then I went to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and got the double smoked off the bone ham with baby Swiss cheese and made little, you know, just the little Sammies.
Yeah.
Like day after Thanksgiving, we just had these little ham and cheese on King Hawaiian roll Sammies. They were so good. The deli meat and the fresh meat counter at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, you can't beat it.
One thing I love about it is they have like a measuring guide for how thick you want it you can pick it up and hold the thickness
literally.
Of it's like a little piece of wooden cheese.
Yeah.
And you can decide how thick you want your meat. You can place your order and then you can come back.
If you say you want it thin medium, they will slice it thin. They will slice a piece and show it to you and you can sample
it. And you can eat it.
And you can say, oh no, I want it thinner.
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh no, I want it thicker.
They try stuff.
Everybody at that company is just fabulous.
Yes.
From Walnut Creek Foods, they're proper, you know, where they do all the manufacturing and their administrative buildings and stuff. They're wonderful. But Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, their people are just so great. Yeah. We love so many of them.
Yes, absolutely. We love our partnership with Walnut Creek Foods.
Yes.
Hey, we mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, but if you're still with us, be ready for next week because we have a special guest, Kendra Adachi.
You
might know her as the Lazy Genius.
Yes, she's written three books, Matt.
Three books. And her whole premise is helping you be lazy in the stuff that doesn't matter and genius in the stuff that does.
Yeah.
And I am telling you, I read her book and I just kept thinking she gives people permission to do life the way that works for them the best. And that is just so congruent with us.
She's wonderful. And she has a podcast called The Lazy Genius.
Lazy Genius, yep.
And it's so good.
So good.
I listen to, if you're going to listen to her podcast, I really recommend listening to the 13 principles of the Lazy Genius Way. I'm not sure what number it is, but it's, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, but it's the 13 principles of the Lazy Genius Way. And it basically, she walks you and talks you through what her approach is. And it's just so good.
Yes. It's so good. Her principles, have changed our family in a lot of ways. And I'm sure you'll hear more as we talk to her next week. But we are so excited to have her.
So excited.
She is like good friends with Michael and Smith, the Nester.
Yes.
And also Emily P. Freeman, who is someone we would love to have
Emily
on.
Emily P. Freeman, if you are listening,
we'd love to have you. So don't miss our episode next week, with, the Lazy Genius, Kendra Adachi.
Yes.
She's incredible.
Incredible.
And I can't wait to share that with you. So, hey, thanks for joining us in this conversation all about Thanksgiving reflections and hard conversations.
Yes.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that
these are good days. This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods and Mount Hope Fence.